Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where husband and wife rewatch, recap, and analyze every single episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
And I'm Dan Hill.
Let's get this party started.
Okay, so welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening, hi, I'm Dan.
Hi, I'm Jenny. We're married and we are watching Melrose Place episode by episode every week and talking to you guys about what happened and kind of just going over our thoughts and feelings about all of the fun events.
Right, and what's cool about our show is that we've seen bits and pieces of Melrose Place, but we have no idea how to put those pieces together. So we're sort of watching this for the first time, episode by episode. And this one, episode 20, entitled Peanut Butter and Jealousy, aired on January 13th, 1993. And it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I liked it.
What's on me? I think it's a piece of pen, like ink.
From your notes?
I've been taking so many notes. I have pen marks on my face.
Okay. So, before we really, really start, we have another segment at the end that I think you all are going to like.
Save it for the end.
I'm
going to
save it. I'm not going to tell them what it is, but I'm going to save it. Okay.
So, Billy's getting dressed, and we see really every aspect of how he's getting dressed. So,
we're no stranger to Billy's inner thighs at this point. We've seen them at his mother's house when he was getting dressed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, come on, jump in my bed. I'm half naked.
And he's putting on his tux, and I could only deduce that he's getting ready for the ad agency ball.
Right. And he has no idea how his tuxedo shirt
so he has
cuffed
French
on.
Cuffs, and Allison has to show him how to put his cufflinks on with his shirt. And I gotta say, Allison is looking great. Oh, I love that dress.
She looks great. I even made a note. Allison looks hot.
She has this really short, sparkly sequin silver dress on that's like, I'm in love with it. Anything that's shiny or sparkly, I'm like, yes, please.
And Billy looks like a waiter serving like hors d'oeuvres.
He tried. And Jake is in the house with them, and
yeah, why is Jake there?
I think just to kind of see them off, and
he's just chilling.
He wants to talk to somebody about this Joe situation. He lets them know that Joe's husband is there in LA, and he hasn't told Joe yet that he saw him out by the mailboxes, and he told the husband that Joe doesn't live here.
Right, and Allison is a little bit too preoccupied. She's nervous that she's gonna like make a mistake at this ball, and then Jake is like, well, why the hell did you bring Billy then?
We had a real nice laugh over that one.
Yeah.
So we go up to Joe's apartment, and she's listening to her voice messages, and there's a rejection on the voicemail, and Jake comes to the front door, and she is in a great mood, despite the fact that she's gotten 6 rejections that day alone.
Because, guys, Joe's a bad photographer. It's time to call a spade a spade.
We saw her work last episode when she was actually in action taking the photos.
They're not good.
They're not good.
I'm sorry, Joe, but yeah, she got rejected 6 times.
Maybe you need to find another career. But she is just ready to let loose. She says, you're going to take me out somewhere. We're going to start at Shooters. Talk is not on my agenda tonight. Jake's like, look, I really got to tell you something important.
She's like, nope, take me out.
We're getting drunk. Off to Shooters we go.
Right. So now we cut to Jane, who is running measurements on Rhonda, because she is making her freaking dress. That's right, guys. You heard it right. Jane Mancini is making Rhonda's dress for her wedding when Rhonda is getting married to T-Money, Mr. Riches.
And we learned that they're getting married in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So that is not a lot of time to get all of the arrangements in place. They're in Jane's living room and Sydney is there and they're talking about the design of the dress, and every single suggestion that Jane gives Rhonda, Sydney is like, that's passé, that's overdone, that's so last year. Because now that Sydney's been working in the fashion industry for 5 minutes, she knows all of the ins and outs about what's in and what's out.
So Sydney takes off for work after her exchange with Jane about the dress and it being in and out, and confides in Rhonda that she feels like Sydney is sort of taking her life.
Right, taking over every aspect from her job to her personal life to even her marriage with Michael.
Right. And I don't really know what Rhonda says because I wasn't really paying attention. But I'm sure it's...
She comforts her and is like, yeah, don't worry, it'll pass, it's not a big deal. So we go to Joe and Jake and they're at Shooters and Joe is complaining about her work and how she's getting rejected all the time. Kind of like in a fun, jokey right. kind of a way.
And are they playing drunk? Because Jake like cuts her off and he's like, oh my God, shut up.
I don't think they're trying to be drunk, but he does abruptly interrupt her and is like, Joe, stop. I saw your husband, okay? He was here. I told him I never heard of you before, but I just needed to tell you. And she's like, why didn't you tell me sooner? I've been trying to, but you wouldn't let me talk about it. And she just, like, the mood, just all of the air in the room gets sucked out. And she's like, I gotta get out of here right now.
She's like, I gotta take off. And now we cut to the D&D advertising ball. And I'm happy to see like a room full of extras that are all getting paid and like they're doing well in there.
Yeah.
Like, normally you see extras in this show and they're just sort of like nothing. They're just not doing anything.
Well, these guys are cutting a rug to everybody's a dancing. Gloria Estefan-esque track.
Come on everybody, let me do that conga.
But not that. It's a longer beat. It's not that song. It's like the generic version of that song.
Right. Like the version you'd hear in an elevator.
Yeah. And it's like, stop, shake your body and groove. Uno, dos, tres. It's like
that. Oh, man.
And all of a sudden the music changes and it gets a little slow. And Billy tries to pull Allison closer to her and put his cheek against hers. And she pulls back very abruptly and walks off of the dance floor.
Right, because Allison is very good at looking happy, sad, and scared all at the same time.
Right.
So whenever one of these three emotions is present, it's very strange to deduce or to figure out which one is actually accurate and which one she's trying to use in the moment.
So Billy's like, sorry, Allison, I just thought that maybe we could, you know, dance a little bit. Sometimes I get my Arthur Murray dance classes back in my blood and I want to shake a thing or two. And she's like, God. Oh, and she's acting very strange toward him. And it's then that her boss, Lucy, comes up and is like, who's this? Oh, Lucy, this is my date. Oh, he doesn't look like the married type, which I thought was a little.
No, she was like, hope he's not the married one.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like Lucy, like your boss kind of like blown up your spot in front. Like she doesn't know who this guy is.
She doesn't care. She took her to lunch. She brought her to that dance. She has a right to know.
Well, he's like, no, I'm not the married one. I'm the roommate one. And her boss is like, Allison, I didn't know that you were that, you know, risque. And she's like, no, we're totally platonic. We're just here as friends.
Yeah, and then Billy's like, you know, you don't have to explain us to everybody, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut up, Billy. And then, luckily, Danny from episode 19 shows up.
Yeah, you remember.
Yeah, Allison at first originally asked him to this dance.
But he was going with Kendra and couldn't go with her. So she sees him and he's like, oh, Eleanor, great to see you.
Hey, Eleanor, what's up?
And she corrects him. It's actually Allison. And he says, hey, you want to dance? I actually got stood up by Kendra and I'm here by myself. And she very quickly accepts his invitation and leaves Billy on the sideline so she can go out on the dance floor with this Danny Baker dude.
Right. And Billy looks crushed. He's just sort of heartbroken, like, sure, go ahead. Have a dance with him.
So Joe and Jake are back at Melrose Place and they're in Joe's apartment. And she tells Jake that she's not officially divorced from her husband.
And then he's like, well, Jake takes superhero mode into high octane. And he's like, well, tell me what I got to do. What do you need from me? And he's like, I'll stop him.
And Joe's like, look, this is my problem. I am going to handle it on my own. You need to just go mind your own business. And he's like, well, you know, Joe, you know where to find me, okay?
Right. So Jake leaves and then Joe picks up her cordless phone and she makes a call. And all she says is, tell me where he is.
Yeah, she's like, it's bad. I know he's here. Where is he staying?
Who is she talking to?
We never find out.
Yeah, who just is on the line and just knows where he's at all the time.
And knows her voice where she can just say, it's bad.
Yeah. Like,
that's how she opens the conversation.
Right. So she's like, where is he staying? And so now we cut back to the ball and Allison's having a great time with Danny. She looks at Billy and she's like, hey, we're going to go to this after party thing. You're not invited. But is it cool if me and Danny just roll? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Sure. See you later, Allison. And he just leaves.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Billy, you had it coming, bro. You ruined her chance with your friend at Shooters. And this is how you get repaid.
So it's the next day and Joe is meeting with her husband. He addresses her as Beth and they're meeting, I think, in his hotel lobby.
Yeah. And there's a clear choice by the writer to like dress Joe up like Beth.
That was my note because she looks awesome.
Yeah, but it's just more like
polished and put together.
Right.
She's wearing this like kind of like the suit that has this like beautiful blouse and the like chain gold belt and a black like, pencil skirt.
And like your mom's earrings, that sort of thing.
I mean, it's a nice departure from all of the mom jeans and the vests that she's been wearing lately.
She wears like a lot of black now. She's sort of rough.
Yeah, but this is very polished, put together, Fifth Avenue. I mean, she looks great. And they're talking and he tells her immediately, hey, look, I stopped drinking. I found you because your dad let the cat out of the bag. And I wanted to just find you and let you know that I'm sorry. I'm in rehab. And part of the process is apologizing to people that we've hurt. And I owe you a huge apology. And I want to say sorry.
Did he look familiar to you?
Not really, no.
No? Because he is, Charles Reynolds is played by Lyndon Ashby, and he was in the new Teen Wolves.
Oh, I don't watch those.
And he was Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat,
the movie. I absolutely don't watch that.
Well, I recently had to watch that.
I know you did.
But yeah, he's Johnny Cage from MK.
So even though Charles, her husband, is groveling, she's like, look, our marriage is over. I'm put that life behind me now. I do want to just kind of go on with my life and figure this out on my own.
And he was like, remember that day when I got real hammered and passed out in the park?
No, he says, he goes, you know, Joe,
out the park.
When I discovered you had left, I went crazy. I went insane. I drank all night and I passed out in the park. And then I went to rehab the very next day and I've been a changed man ever since.
And she's like, yeah, okay.
So he does seem different to her though. And he says, look, I'm in town for a few days. would you just go have lunch with me? Would you at least do that? And she agrees.
Right. So we leave them there and we cut to Jane, who comes into our apartment. She walks into her bedroom.
It's dark and stormy, lightning and thunder.
And she sees Sydney full mounting Michael Mancini. But
it's a dream.
It's a dream. A
lot of foreshadowing, though.
And how come in all the dreams, it's thunder and lightning? All of them.
Really?
Yeah. When
even when Billy was going to jump off the high dive and his parents were like, Billy, you can do it.
I think so. Allison had the dream about...
Makeout sesh?
About what's his name's wife? Keith's wife?
Oh, yeah. It was thundering.
Thunder and lightning.
Hmm. Nice observation.
That's their dream sequences.
So she wakes up out of sleep and she's in bed with Sydney and Sydney's just filing her nails like, oh, hey, you overslept. I already called Kay. She's going to be late too. Everything's fine. And it's like
why don't you just wake her up? She's like, can't you just wake me up?
So Michael is in the kitchen and he's on the phone and it turns out he's trying to plan a surprise party for Jane. So Sydney comes into the kitchen and he's like, look, I really wanted to help you plan. And Michael's like, no, look, Sydney, I got this under control. Okay.
And she's like, hey, you're in the 11th hour here. You don't have a place set up. Let me try to help you and let's get this at K Beacon Studio. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine. See what you can do and let me know. And she gives him a big old hug and a big wet kiss on his cheek. And who walks out after having her sex dream but Jane? She sees this and now the seed is planted that like, this bitch trying to take my man.
Maybe there is a little something to my dream here. Why did she just hug and kiss him? They fought like cats and dogs before, and now they're really seeming to get along. Right.
And Michael, weird. And Michael doesn't do a good job at all of like playing this off either, because he's trying to hide that they're setting up a surprise party, but he's just like, I made her breakfast. It's like, okay, you've got it, Michael.
So we go over to Allison and Billy's place, and Allison apologizes about last night. She acknowledges that she shouldn't have left him, and it wasn't cool of her to go off with Danny when Billy was actually her date.
Mm-hmm. And he is mad. He storms out of the apartment. He's like, oh, yeah, we're just friends. Bye.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what, Allison? I blow-dried my hair three times for you.
Ew.
That was my favorite part.
And it still looked like shit. It still looked like that? It looked like the same it always looks.
And she's like, look, okay, Billy, I get it. Like, I did the wrong thing, and we went to the after party. Nothing cool happened there. We just talked about work. I really should have left with you. And he's like, look, you asked me if I'm mad at you. You asked me if you bothered me, and you did. And I am mad at you. Bye.
Right. So he leaves, and we then transition over to Joe and Jake's storyline. Joe is walking down the steps. She spills out all her photos. And I think she's telling Jake, like, oh, yeah, I have a meeting with a studio or whatever. They want to look at my work. Which I think is bullshit. She's going to meet...
Well, she does slip in that she did see her husband last night.
Right.
And Jake is surprised. I mean, taken aback because all he's ever heard is how terrible her husband is. And she's like, look, I can't walk out and just say it's over. I have to give him this time and kind of give him an explanation of why I left.
Right. So Jake, he basically... We leave this scene. He's agreeing to give her the space that she needs to sort out her mess of a marriage.
So we go over to Rhonda's place, and her and Matt are sitting in the kitchen, and Rhonda is talking about wedding planning.
And Matt's laying it on real thick.
Yeah, he's making her feel really guilty because she's just kind of thinking out loud, should we do $100 per person? I mean, Terrence wants to cap it off at $100 for everybody, but I don't think we can get away without spending $150 on everybody. And then Matt's like, who are you?
Yeah, Matt, he literally says, you've changed.
You used to hate all of these extravagant social stuff, and now listen to you. What about your old life? What about working in South Central and giving back to your community?
And you know what, Matt? Go to hell, okay? Like, people, of course, life is change. People change. When you have a new person in your life that is an influence, like a fiance or someone you've been dating for weeks or months or years.
Or days, or if you're Rhonda.
They're going to have an effect on you and you're going to change, you know?
And, of course, I know when you're younger, you might have those aspirations of getting out and changing the world and living on a shoestring budget. But as you get a little bit older and can appreciate the finer things in life, I don't think there's anything wrong with throwing a huge-ass party with $150 per person per plate.
Yeah, I hate that crap. I mean, people change all the time. You know?
You're preaching to the choir, so...
It's not fair. Not fair at all, Matt.
So, Joe and Charles are at lunch. And Charles is like, well, Beth, because he keeps calling her Beth this whole time. He does not know her as Joe. Beth, it must have been hard being out here all by yourself without any credit cards or money. And Joe's like, I am working as a photographer, Charles. That's right. People pay me to take pictures. You just said it was a hobby that I could never do anything with in my life. Well, guess what? I am.
Right. And I noticed two things at this restaurant. One, Charles is the most attractive male guest star we've had on the show.
I was thinking that too. Like, of all of the guys that have been on there, on the show, like, he's definitely, like, the top one.
Yeah. They've upped their budget for guests, for guest stars. Paul and Keith, sorry, but you guys looked sick. They looked ill. They looked very ill. And then the other thing I noticed is that this is the same exact restaurant
where Jake
lost his family. So,
I was thinking that too, because when they were in the hotel lobby, I was like, wow, that looks really familiar too.
Yeah. So this restaurant is the place where families break up.
It's the designated area.
Right.
So Joe basically solidifies that and says, look, I've made my decision. I'm moving forward, and that's it. I mean, and Charles is like, well, I just have to figure some things out. I mean, I felt like I didn't deserve you, our whole marriage, and I just have a problem with my self-worth, and I want to kind of get past it and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, I know we were married for 4 years, and we're kind of going our separate ways now, but can you at least show me around a little bit this afternoon? Doesn't 4 years together buy me that much?
It shouldn't.
Yeah, but, and they keep talking like, wow, they were married for 4 years. Like, that is such a long period of time.
It ain't nothing.
4 years?
That ain't nothing.
That, okay.
So now we are back to Jane's work at Kay Beacons, and Jane is just chilling, trying to work. She seems a little flustered. Sydney's all up in her face, eating her apple. And Jane is basically like, hey, Sid, will you just go somewhere and kiss some ass or whatever the hell it is you do?
Well, no. First she said...
Oh, yeah, she asked her to get her lunch.
Look, can you get me... Like, I'm so busy today. Can you get me lunch? Because all Sydney is doing is hovering over her while she's trying to work.
Mm-hmm.
And Sydney's like, ugh,
what if Kay needs me?
So I think Kay's gonna need me, or what if someone else needs me? And Jane's like, Sydney, your job description is to run errands for people in the office, and I need you to get lunch. And she's just like, I don't think so. And then Jane's like, why don't you just go kiss butt or whatever it is you're here to do?
Right. And, I mean, is this a way to talk to your sister? I don't know. I don't know. Might be making a case for something.
Oh, okay. Foreshadowing. So, we are over at Jake's place, and Billy is there, and Jake is getting really concerned about Joe. He says, I've called her 5 times. She hasn't answered. She hasn't been home all day.
Yeah, after he agrees to give her some space, he calls her 5 times. Come on, Jake. This isn't like you.
Well, he is really hung up about her, and he's complaining to Billy about it, and that is when That is when Joe and Charles enter into the Melrose Place courtyard, and they're kind of going over the afternoon. They had a really nice time together, and they go in for a kiss. And all the while, Jake is watching from behind the blinds, and this makes him all the more jealous.
And, like, it's no secret. I love Jake. He's my favorite character on the show so far. But needy Jake is not a good look for Jake. You know, when he gets, like, obsessive and, like, meddly, I'm not into him. So
I think it humanizes him. He can't be this tough macho jock, like hard guy that's on a bike all the time. I think it gives him dimension.
I disagree. I want my Jake tough and cool.
Okay, noted.
Be cool, Jake. Don't be a dick.
So we're at Michael and Jane's apartment, and Michael has a cake for Jane's surprise party that's going down that night. And Jane bursts into the apartment, and he quickly tries to hide the cake into a laundry basket and puts clothes over it. And Jane's like, "Welp, the jig is up, Michael. I know all about your little plan." And Michael thinks he's been found out, and the surprise party is busted. And she said, "You told me to go for a run to clear my head, and all I did was think. And I've made up my mind, and I've thought about it. I've got to ask Sydney to leave today."
And he's like, yeah, Jane, why don't you think about this for a little bit?" And he's like, can you let it wait for a night, please, for me?"
Yeah, so of course, he's like, if they blow up today, then our little surprise party isn't going to go as planned. So he says, "Why don't the two of you go out? I've got to work my rounds tonight. Figure it out. And if by tomorrow you feel the same way, you can have that conversation with her tomorrow and kick her out then."
Mm-hmm. So now we go to Allison and Joe, where they're sitting around as they do. They sort of confide in each other, and they're sort of rationalizing why it's okay that Joe is entertaining the idea of sort of getting back with Charles and giving him a chance. And Allison is wearing like a 5XL sweatshirt in this scene that I could not stop looking at. It is so big on her. It's so big.
Well, Allison is really not into the idea of Joe getting back with her husband. She's like, "What? You're going on a date with this guy? I mean, all you've done is trash talk to him the whole time that I've known you." And Joe's like, "Well, this isn't the man that I left. This is a man I fell in love with. He's totally different. And I think he's really put this drinking thing behind him. And he's going to give us a fair chance. And we've had 4 years together. I mean, that's like an eternity, right? Yeah. And I have to at least give this a fair shake."
And then Jake bursts in awkwardly, and he's like, "Hey, ladies. Hey, Joe. Are you going to Jane's surprise party? Maybe we go together."
And Joe is less than thrilled. You can see that she's not so happy to have this whole Jake thing, like, kind of interfering with her marriage and the prospect of her getting back with Charles. And she's like, "Look, I'm not going to be going to the party tonight and, you know, have fun, but I've got some other plans."
Maybe that's the issue. Like, I don't like Jake getting clowned. And she basically, like, clowns him in this scene. She's just like, "Yeah, get out of here, Jake, whatever. I don't like people messing with Jake."
Yeah, I hear ya. And that's when Jake leaves, and Joe just looks at Allison and says, "Never go out with anyone in this building." Which is great advice, because we know where Allison might be heading.
Dude, everybody goes out with everybody in that building. Spoiler alert.
So Billy and Michael are planning Jane's party for later that night, and kind of deciding who's going to take the cake and the logistical problems and everything. And Billy is really rubbing it in that he and Allison are still not on good terms. He says, "Allison, we're going to have to be going separately to this party." And she's like, "Billy, come on. We live together. We're roommates. We go places together all the time. Although we're not in a relationship, we can still hang out."
Right. She's like, "We can bring the cake together." And he's like, "No, we're bringing it separate."
So we head over to Shooters where Sydney and Jane are hanging out. And of course, Jane has no idea about the surprise party.
And Jane and Sid look great.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, they looked awesome. Sydney's in this like bright red, like sexy low cut dress.
Sydney does look good.
She looked good. And then Jane, she actually like, yeah, I was into it.
That flower choker?
Sure. Yep.
You liked that?
I'll take it.
It's like a high collar with a flower choker.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine by me. Well, that's great.
They're having some sister time and they're the kind of rehashing everything that's going on and why they're kind of getting in all of these little tiffs. And Sydney's like, Jane, you're blaming me for everything that's not working in your life. Why can't you just be happy for me? And then that's when Jane really lays it on the line and says, Sydney, I think you're trying to steal my life, okay? You come here, you're taking over my job, you start working where I'm working, you're living with us now. It's like you're getting too close. You have to stop.
Mm-hmm. And then, so Jane is basically like, I'm going home, F this. But the whole plan of this party was to have Sydney go to Shooters with Jane and then bring her to Kay Beacon's place for the surprise.
Right. So everyone's at the gallery. They're waiting. And then all of a sudden, Sydney walks in. Everyone gets ready to yell, surprise! And Sydney's expression on her face is just ear-to-ear smiles. Hi, everybody! And Michael's like, wait, where's Jane? Oh, we got in a fight. She's not coming!
Yeah, it's like, she's not coming. Whatever, bye. And she gets her beer and starts smoking a cigarette. And then Billy shows up with the cake. He basically throws the cake at Michael.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, I'm getting a beer. He's got to get as far away as he can from Allison.
So poor Michael, his little plan's not working. Everyone's kind of being a jerk to him. So he's got to go back home to go get Jane to bring her to the party.
Right. Then Jake is also at the party, Stag, alone. And he basically is talking to Allison about the situation. And he's like, you know what? This is stupid. I got to go talk to her. And then he does something very strange that, like, I don't know. He just puts the beer on the floor in the way of the doorway and then hops on his motorcycle.
Yeah, he's like I gotta go see Joe. When we're together, it just feels right. I feel special when I'm with her. This is the girl for me. And Allison's like, Jake, you need to give her some space, okay? Don't go to her. Don't, like leave it alone. And just like you said, he leaves his beer right there and speeds off. His beer
takes off. Jake can't take no for an answer. He's back to needy, stupid Jake.
So Charles and Joe are out again, and they're having dinner, and Charles asks, is there someone new in your life, Beth? I feel like I need to know. And Joe's very honest with him, and she says, yes, but I wouldn't call it very serious. I am kind of seeing the guy that lives in the apartment building, Jake.
And then he does this sort of like weird anger test where he holds his hands up to his eye level, and if they start shaking, then that means he can't handle it. And then he's like, well, looks like I passed the test.
No jealousy here.
No jealousy. And then she's like, okay, great.
We're good.
Yep. So Sid is back to smoking indoors again.
They get Jane to come to the party. Michael had to tell her on the way over about it just to get her to come. And then as soon as Jane walks in, she's like, hey, Sydney, come here. I got to talk to you. Yeah. I want you out of our apartment by tomorrow. I am tired of fighting this. We do not get along. And this isn't working. You have to leave. And then Sydney's like,
fuck tomorrow. How about tonight?
Bye, bitch.
Yeah, she out. So now we go to Melrose Place. Jake is doing a late night lap swim. What do we call these swims?
Oh, the swim disc.
Swim disc. Yeah. He's doing Matt's famous swim disc. And there's a cool shot of like high heels walking while Jake is swimming, like in a line. of it just dragging across the screen. And Jake is he gets out of the pool. He starts drying off. And then we have the best scene of the episode.
Agreed. So the high heels belong to Joe. And she sees Jake and she's like, "Well, you're angry, aren't you?" And he just lets loose and says, "Yeah, I'm angry, okay?"
Dick, of course I'm angry. He's like, all these people tell me to just stand by and let you make what could be the worst decision of both of our lives because he's fallen for her. And then she's going to let this some jerk sweep her off her feet again? He's like, I can't stand idly by and do that.
Yeah, so he says, everyone keeps saying, don't push it, Jake. Sit on it, Jake. Don't do anything, Jake. I've been thinking about you and I'm scared for you. I'm scared to death that I've fallen in love with someone that I'm going to lose.
How do you write all of that so quick?
I am a copious note taker.
It's insane, guys. It is insane. We're going to have the whole script of Melrose Place by the end of this podcast.
I'm good. I can write really fast.
Damn.
And then Joe says to him, well, you know what? That just might happen. You might just lose me. And she runs up to her apartment crying.
Mm. And you know, I agree with Jake. It's basically like, if you want something, you need to go actively pursue it. You can't just sit around or else you will miss your opportunity, you know? You have to let your feelings be known, at least, which is what he did, but it doesn't work in this instance. She's like, just leave me the hell alone, you freak. Go back swimming.
Well, then we go over to Billy and Allison's apartment, and Billy's watching TV, and Allison walks right over, turns it off, and sits in front of the television, which I know if I did that to Daniel J. Hill, I would probably get backhanded.
Are you kidding me? I would never lay a hand on you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I would dropkick you.
I would never lay a hand on you.
Okay. And Allison says, look, Billy, we have to talk. We can be friends and not have this weird jealousy thing hanging over our heads. And then Billy's like, Allison, why are you just intellectualizing this? You're not attracted to me. I'm not attracted to you. Let's just leave it at that. But just know, I could get you if I wanted you.
Yeah, which, oh my God. Do we have to even talk about this?
And then Allison is like, oh, really? How are you going to get me? Well, first I'd put on this movie, and then I'd have you eat this peanut butter cookie, and then I'd do my famous monkey impression, and that's when he starts literally acting like a monkey, picking her up, running around the apartment with her. He lays her down on the couch and gets up in her face, and I really thought they were going to kiss right then and there, but they don't.
I wish you guys could see my face right now because this is hard to watch. He's like running around like a monkey and Allison is like laughing hysterically at this and just like so into it. And it's the cheesiest shit I've ever seen.
But you know what? When they do stuff like that, I like it.
Oh my God.
I like it because it's like, oh, they're cute. Maybe they will get together. Like, I'm kind of liking this whole Allison Billy storyline.
This has been, it's been so dragged out. It's like, are you or aren't you?
Yeah, it's been for really 4 to 5 episodes of like, do they like each other or don't they? And then it never really seems to get resolved. Yeah. They never really like have the conversation where they're like, are we friends or are we just roommates?
Yeah, it's weird. Now we go to Scaryville.
Middle of the night.
We are in Joe's apartment and she gets a knock on the door.
Banging on the door, not just a knock.
Bang on the door. She opens the door. It's Charles. And Charles is fucked up.
He is wasted drunk.
He's on the sauce. And he's like, you whore. You had sex with Jake, didn't you? Blah, blah, blah. She's
you had
out.
No right screwing around with that bum downstairs when you're so married to me. You're ungrateful and you're selfish. I was humiliated.
Then he starts like trying to make out with her and tries to rip her clothes off. And like, oh, it's bad, guys. She goes for the phone to like call the cops. He smashes the phone. But you know what's weird? I just noticed. She has a cordless phone, and she has the She has a phone on the hook, a corded phone, and he smashes that one. But she could have just grabbed another phone.
Well,
I don't know.
You needed those two.
But yeah, it's very, very scary. And she's like, please just leave, please.
And he says, admit it. You need me. You're not even worth it. You were nothing before me, and now you're nothing again. And he just walks out the door.
He walks out. Jake's at the bottom of the stairs, ready to go into the same apartment that he's already saved somebody from.
Yeah, this is where Sandy was. And if you guys remember, just a few episodes ago, Sandy had a stalker, and Joe was the hero then, and he's the hero now. And he comes in and says, Joe, are you okay? I heard a noise. And she just is like in tears. Both of you, just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. And then there's an exchange between Charles and Jake where he says, funny. I don't see any rough edges. Because that's how Joe described Jake to Charles.
And it's dinner. Like, is that supposed to be a dig at him that he's not really as tough?
Or? Yeah, he's basically like, you're soft. This dude ain't nothing. He's like, that's it?
Well, it's the next day, and Sydney is leaving. She's got all of her bags packed. She's walking out the door. She hands Jane a note, and she says, why do we put ourselves through this? And Sydney... Yeah,
they sort of realize that their parents pitted them against each other. Because Jane is like, all I ever heard was, what are we going to do with Sid? And then Sid basically responds and says, all I ever heard was, why can't you be more like Jane? But and that's a parenting issue.
Yeah, and Sydney does say, you know what? I did want to ruin your party, Jane. I let you walk out of Shooters, and I didn't plan on doing it. But when you didn't come, and it was me walking into that party, I was happy about it. And, I mean, really, for her to admit that...
Foreshadow.
That's pretty great. And she's like, look, this is not a great environment. We are who we are. I've got a plane to catch. Maybe now that there's going to be two of us in this business, I'll go get into fashion somewhere else. And so she's about to walk out the door, and she's like, Jane says to her, Sydney, I love you. Aww. And then Sydney drops her bags, spins around, looks into Jane's eyes and says, me too! And just runs together. They hug. And then she leaves on a semi-good note.
Right. So now we cut to the weak storyline of Matt and Rhonda. Matt's doing some rigorous push-ups.
Crunches.
Crunches. Or maybe they're full sit-ups. I don't know. In his living room. And Rhonda's like kind of yapping at him. And he's like, do we have to do this? It's Sunday. Yeah. Like, Sunday is a day for not arguing.
Yeah, because Rhonda's like, what is your deal? At first, you really liked Terrence, but now I'm getting the sense that you don't like him.
And then Matt's like, you know what? I'm afraid. I'm afraid to find a man of my own.
And I'm afraid of losing you. And Rhonda reassures him and says, look, we're not going to lose what we have. I'm only happy if you're going to be happy for me. Are you happy for me? And he says, yes, I am.
And what I say to you about Matt in this scene?
He looks like he's sick.
He looks ill. He doesn't
What look... is it with you? Every guy in this, you're like, ooh, that guy looks sick. That guy's ugly. That guy's sick.
It's like none of them got makeup or something back in the 90s. Like, He looks so pale and just, like, washed out.
He does. He really does.
Like, can y'all do something with his hair and, like, make his lips not the color of his skin?
He's
got low blood sugar or something. Like, is Matt okay, guys?
And even after all of those sit-ups, too.
Yeah.
You'd think that, like, he'd have, like, a rosy coloring, like, he'd be getting his blood pumping.
Yeah, Matt is just, he doesn't look well, guys.
Well, he volunteers to be Rhonda's best man, and she's like, best man? I've never heard of that on the bride's side. And she says, well, to hell with tradition. You're going to be my best man.
And Matt hates tradition. That's for sure. He says it. He's like, I've never been one for tradition.
So, Charles is checking out of the hotel, and Joe meets him there, and he looks at her and just says, huh, come to see me out, did ya? And she's like, look, I just wanted to come to tell you I'm filing for divorce.
And he's like, bitch, look at all my cash. Here, take some for yourself. You'll need it. And then she just gives it to the bellhop.
Yeah, so she says to him, I forgave you once, and I'm never going to do it again. And then he takes out a wad of cash and is like, here, this is what I pay all my whores. And then she takes the wad of cash, hands it promptly to the bellman, and says, oh, here you are. This is a tip from Mr. Reynolds. He is a big tipper, but not much else.
Ooh, burn.
And walks out.
Sick burn, Joe. You really got him.
So Joe is back at Melrose Place, and of course, Jake is working on his bike right by the pool.
Back to work on the new bike.
And she comes up to him and gives him the good news that she is going to be leaving her husband and filing for divorce, but she's not ready to commit to a new relationship. Is that okay? And Jake just says, as long as I don't lose my place in line. And it kind of like solidifies that they're cool, and they decide that they're going to be going on a ride later that day.
And then he's like, hey, Joe. He walks over to her and lays on this kiss that is not reciprocated. And it looks so weird.
No, I thought it looked good.
No, it did not. Like, they've kissed way better, like on the Christmas episode.
Yeah, that's good.
But like, she like just didn't kiss him back, and it was like,
because maybe she was surprised.
What? Yeah, but a surprise takes like a millisecond, and then like, you're in it. You need to kiss back.
And then he says, welcome home.
Oh, God, barf.
And that's it, guys. That's the end of the episode.
So, to recap,
Ron is getting married in 3 weeks.
Yep. Jane kicks out Sydney.
Allison disses Billy at the ball.
And Joe dumps Charles.
And we find that Matt is afraid he'll never find a one true love.
And Billy sucks.
No, he doesn't.
And for the record, I was on Instagram through Melrose Pod, and I watched Vanessa Williams' Instagram live feed, who plays Rhonda, and I wrote on it. I was like, hey, listen to Melrose Pod. And then she was like, in the live feed, she was like, okay, Melrose Pod, I'll do that. And I was like, yay, she's going to listen to it. But then immediately I was like, oh, shit, I've said so much horrible things about Rhonda. Yeah, why did you
diss her so much?
So here's the thing. For clarity, Vanessa, if you make it to episode 20, I want you to know, and Andrew Hsu, I want you to know that I don't hate you guys as people. I understand that you are actors, you are given scripts, and you are told to perform in this sort of way. So I don't hate you personally. I disagree with a lot of the character choices.
Well, that's very presumptuous to think that the stars are actually going to listen to us.
And it's more on the writers. It's more on the writer. I'm dissing the writers. So I don't care about the writers. In a weird
alternate reality, the stars actually care about this. I don't even think that you need to have this disclaimer.
Hey, she said she would listen.
Well, if she does, Vanessa, thank you so, so much. We love watching you on the show, if that's even a thing. Well, let's go to some 90s moments, shall we?
Okay. Rhonda is drinking a juice box in Jane's apartment.
Ah, nice.
A little drink box.
I love that Billy had blow-dried his hair 3 times to get it just right.
There's the conga beat song at the ball, which should be a Gloria Estefan song.
Oh, yes. I love that Joe is carrying around a paper portfolio of all of her work, when today you'd probably see that on a USB drive or some digital. Yeah.
Billy and Jake are watching TV in Jake's apartment so close, and it's on this, like, tube.
And they reference The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And of course, calling anybody 5 times in a row. In this day and age, when you have caller ID and you can see your call history, if someone called you 5 times in a row, you'd think that their house is on fire.
Stalker!
You would never, 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 never put yourself in that position.
Right. When Jane comes back from her run there and she's talking to Michael, she's wearing a Walkman that plays audio cassette tapes, and there is a shot of Jane's face and their like first generation Apple computer.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, how could you forget that choker flower that she wore to Shooters?
Gotta love that. Was that your last one?
Yep.
I got two more. Sydney's bangs at Shooters, straight up curling iron, curled over with the little coif thing. It was super 90s. And then, lastly, Charles pays for his room in cash when he checks out.
Only ballers do that.
Only ballers, man. You put rooms on credit cards.
So now that we are at episode 20, we want to introduce a new little segment that we're going to be doing. And we're going to call it Bitch of the Week.
Bitch of the Week!
So we're each going to nominate a character that we think was the bitchiest of the entire week. And if we agree, awesome. If we're pitted against each other, we're going to have to fight for who we thought was the biggest bitch. And if we can't come to an agreement, you guys are going to have to settle it for us.
Right. We'll put a poll on Twitter of who you think the biggest bitch was.
So in this episode, Dan, who's your vote for biggest bitch?
Jane Mancini, of course.
Jane?
Fuck yeah. She was a total bitch. Unwarranted. She had a dream. She had a dream that Sydney was banging Michael. And then that set her on a path to get her sister out of her life. And it's sort of unwarranted. It's really unwarranted. She didn't do anything to her. She got a job near her, yeah. But then she insults her. Sydney woke her up when she was late to work.
Don't you think, though, that Sydney has done a lot of really annoying things, like smoking in her house, taking over her job, when she's at the job, not doing anything that Jane is asking her to do just because she doesn't feel like it?
I don't know. Jane was kind of a bitch. She was a bitch to Michael. She was like, I'm not going to this party. She was a bitch to Sydney. Kicking her out? Your own sister?
No, I think...
kind of bitchy.
My vote for Bitch of the Week is Allison.
What?
She left Billy at the ball. She begged Billy to be her date. And then when someone better came around, she left him the entire night, danced with this guy, left Billy on the sidelines the whole time, and then ultimately left with this other guy and told Billy to get his own way home.
She was at least nice about it. And then apologized to Billy the next day. Jane was just, she was insulting her. She's like, go kiss some ass. That's a bitch thing to say.
I don't know.
Say.
I've got to stand my ground with Allison.
Jane was like, go kiss some ass.
She said,
do whatever it is you fucking do.
Actually, she said, kiss some butt.
Go kiss some butt and do whatever the hell it is you do around here, all right? That's what she did. And she's a dick to her husband. She's like, I already know the surprise.
She didn't say that.
She's a bitch at her own birthday. That was her birthday. Like, put that into perspective. This was this woman's birthday.
No.
And she's that mean. She kicked her sister out of her place on her birthday. She's a fucking bitch. Guys, Jane was a bitch in this one. Would you kick your sister out of your apartment on your
birthday?
No, but
I have a very different relationship with my sister. She's my best friend.
Okay. Well, then she goes on a run.
I don't know.
She's a bitch.
Well, I'm maintaining Allison. Dan's got Jane in his corner. You let us know what you guys think. Jane or Allison, who is the bitch of the week?
Jenny, what is your lesson?
You know, a leopard can't change its spots. You are who you are, and people think that they're going to be different. I mean, Joe thought that Charles was going to be different, but he's still an alcoholic. He's still a jerk. Jane thought that maybe Sydney was going to be different, but they revert back to their old ways, and that's it. That's who these people are.
Right. Yeah, I agree. My lesson is jealousy will get you nowhere. And it got anyone who was jealous in this episode got nowhere. Went from it. Jane lost a sister because she was jealous. Matt being jealous of Rhonda didn't get him anywhere. And Jake being jealous of Charles didn't get him anywhere.
Well, it kind of did.
Until the very end.
Yeah, because...
But she was at first... Like, he was all super jealous. Their big argument didn't get him anywhere. She was like, leave me
both. Yeah, I guess it wasn't until Charles ruined his own chances by getting wasted and then coming to her right. house and, like, assaulting her really right. resulted in her being like, oh, okay, I guess I'll take second best, Jake.
Yeah. And Billy...
Which is kind of... You know what? Fucking Joe might be Joe the might be bitch of the week. Because if you think about it...
She was assaulted.
No, think about it. She left her husband, no matter what the circumstances were, not a note.
No note. Just took off 4 years. Bye.
Like, just gone. Gone in the middle of the night without telling anybody. And then she pretty much keeps Jake on the back burner the entire time until her husband comes around. And then she doesn't even tell Jake. It's just kind of like, whatever, I'm just kind of running around playing with his emotions. And then when her husband messes up, she's like, oh yeah, I guess I'll go back to you now because I don't have my husband around. Now that, out of all the three things, I think is the most egregious.
I'm sticking with Jane.
I don't know. I'm changing my tune. I think Joe is a real bitch. And I don't want to let... Of course, she was attacked in her apartment. I don't want to lessen that. But really, what transpired over this... It's kind of messed up.
A little messed up. Okay.
Well, this episode was called Peanut Butter and Jealousy.
Which is the best... title for an episode thus far.
The best title.
Yeah.
So if we had to rename them, Dan, what's yours?
I would say Soft Spot for Rough Edges.
Oh, that's actually good.
Right, because Jake is the rough edge that Joe gets a soft spot for at the end. And Sydney is a rough edge that Jane hugs at the end.
Aw, she gets a little soft spot. That's mm-hmm. a good one. Well, I should go first on these because mine is greener grass because everybody thinks that the grass is always greener on the other side and they're always jealous of other people, what they can't have. But then when it comes down to it, it's never as good as what you think it is.
What are your predictions?
Melrose Wedding. I can't wait for this. I want to see Rhonda's dress.
I don't think we'll see the wedding.
I want to have it in the courtyard with a clear plexiglass thing over the pool so they can dance on top of it.
Oh my God.
My dream. That's okay. Really all I want. I want a Melrose wedding. I want Sydney to come back, which I kind of feel like she's going to. Joe might move after getting that sick-ass alimony money from Charles when she divorces him. And then maybe Kay Beacon will fire Jane because she's the reason that her favorite employee, Sydney, had to leave.
Jane, where are my donuts?
Oh, Sydney doesn't work here anymore. Well, neither do you. Get another job.
And get me that belt she was wearing, please.
Dad.
My predictions are that, of course, Sydney comes back. I think we're going to take a break from Joe and Jake. A little sick of that storyline. And I think we're going to shift gears to more Michael. We need some Michael. I think we're going to get some more Mike. So that's what we got for today, for this week. We said that we would read reviews. We got a new one.
Yay! And this is from Big Brother B. In a world besought with fear and uncertainty, I take comfort knowing that a show like the MPP is there, taking it easy for the rest of us sinners. I bet if you ask, they'd even get you a tow, pour you a White Russian, and take you to IHOP. If you like Melrose Place, then you'll never need to listen to another podcast ever! Woo!
Thank you, Big Brother B. We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it. So, I wanted to give the 90s TV Hour podcast a shout out. This past week, I was a guest on their podcast. They do a fantastic job of covering 90s TV shows and recapping them and going through all the funny stuff that happens. So if you are into 90s television, which you probably should be if you're listening to us, you should also listen to them as well. They're on iTunes, and you can find them, 90s TV Hour. And, of course, we want to thank our patrons on Patreon, Tara, Tommy, Michelle, and Amanda. Thank you guys so much for contributing to the Melrose Place podcast. We really appreciate it. And if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/melrosepod. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, @melrosepod. Our email is melrosepod@gmail.com. Send us questions, things we missed.
Thanks so much. We love you. Until next time.
Later.